say, have you always been a confident performer?
I mean, no. Of course, it's something that you have to build up over the years. In my sort of music life, or sort of almost, shall we say, in front of a crowd life, because that's really, you can kind of apply this almost to public speaking as well as musical performance. I did a lot of public speaking as a kid, and I started piano at the age of 5. And piano, when you're in a rock band, and I'm on bass, there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of lights and flashing things and stuff, and it only takes the most astute ears to pick off of a flub a note or two. But if you're doing a piano performance, everyone's sitting there and they're listening to every single note, and if you even just miss one thing, it's picked up immediately. So when I first got your questions, the first thing that popped into my head is every year. So started learning piano at age of 5, and every year there was a piano recital, generally around Christmas time, and then there might be one during the summer too. So in actual fact, it's why I really am sick of Christmas carols, because you'd had to start learning the Christmas song in like October, you know. But anyway. I think, and this is one of the summer recitals, and I'll never forget it. Usually the recitals went pretty well. We practiced for so many months that you could just kind of play with your eyes closed, you know? And sure, you'd get nervous, but you were with all your friends or all your fellow students that were taking it from the same piano teacher in some suburb in Michigan. So you're all kind of nervous together, and you're only playing one song, you know? And like I said, it's a song you've been playing a lot. But this one particular time, and I think I was maybe 9 or 10 years old, the piece I was playing was, it was Jurassic Park, the theme for Jurassic Park. Right. And I wasn't quite as good at it as I should have been, you know? Every other recital up until that point, I owned the piece. I'd played it so many times that I really could play it blindfolded. But for whatever reason, this one, I don't know, this one wasn't quite as solid in my sort of memory banks, if you will. So, and it had to be memorized. And for, also at this particular recital, she had the most people at the recital, the piano teacher did, that she'd ever had before. Usually it was maybe, you know, the kids and their parents, so maybe like 30 or 40 people. This one actually had a good 50 or 60, all crammed in this house, you know, with her piano. And so when it came out to my turn to play, I was already extremely nervous, just sweating. And I sat down to play, and I'll never forget, it was one of the only times in my life that my limbs didn't do what my brain was telling them to do. And, you know, the piece, like, necessitated the use of a sustain pedal, and my leg just wouldn't do it. It would just wiggle back and forth, and like I'd hit the sustain and my entire leg would shake, and I'm playing the song, and the thing is, all the pieces are supposed to be memorized. So I had the song memorized, but because I was so, my brain was so like, what is going on with my right leg, I fumbled through the piece. Terrible performance. And shortly soon after, we actually switched piano teachers. And my parents got me a new one who's ensured that I was better set. But that moment was kind of like that haunted me for a long time, particularly on piano. Because every time I'd step up, I'd have a flash of that moment and think, oh man, am I gonna freeze up like I did during that one time? And I've had a couple in piano performance where I've felt like I almost have. But you just have sort of like pushed through it. It's like, not this time. I'm determined to sort of break through. But when I started playing rock, like, piano was something that I was just, I'm not going to say forced to play, but something that was like, oh, you're going to learn piano. And, you know, I always say the first 8 years are the worst. And before I really started to enjoy it. But getting into rock or punk rock at the time, that was something I really wanted to do. So I really wanted to get on stage. I really wanted to play bass. And I was the singer of the band at the time, and I'm an absolutely terrible singer, but just still love screaming up there. But I think it's a little bit easier when you've got 2, 3, 4 other guys on stage with you, and you're just creating this cacophony of noise that sort of kind of all blends into one. And you can jump around. So all those nerves that you have at piano, you're stuck at a piano and you can't move, you know? On rock, I can jump from that end to that end, and all that nervous energy just gets translated into kinetic rock energy, if you will.
Same for me, really. Playing in bands, playing piano in bands, or playing a piano solo. If it's just you, you're the only person mm-hmm. who's responsible for the right. whole thing. I think that's an interesting point, and I think it makes you less nervous when you play with other people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've worked with other musicians. That's the only type of performance they've ever done.
Uh huh.
So they treat it like your piano performance, okay. like my first piano
yeah.
performance.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
And they vomit for a group performance. I'm thinking, well, go and vomit if you have to. But, I'm good.
That's not till I'm on my own. Thanks.
So it's interesting. Getting back perhaps to the solo performance, mm-hmm. do you still do any solo?
Sure, yeah, actually. I actually just this past year went and recorded a piano album on my own as well. Mm. Sort of just a separate little side project, and started to perform that around LA. And it's the first time I'd done solo piano performances in a couple of years. So again, I had this, the very first one was at a, every month in downtown LA, they have this thing called the LA Art Walk. And there's like warehouses and art galleries and stuff, and they all open up. They have spaces and bands and musicians. And downtown LA is usually pretty quiet, but it's one of the few times that downtown LA is really vibrant. And I booked a gig at the Alexandria Hotel, just in like one of their sort of it's a very sort of historic old building that just kind of gets used for everything from shows to ballet class to, and in this particular case, for the art walk. And so I was the piano player to kind of provide sort of ambient noise as people would come in and play around. And so I just played my piano piece. And since I wrote it, and it's completely all my work, I had a little bit more confidence in my ability to kind of play along, because for all intents and purposes, no one in the room really knows the songs anyway. So if I forget that part, I can just sit on the on the C chord for a little longer or something like that. And they're not really gonna. It's more just the nice kind of ambient noise, you know. So, but I still got nervous. I still definitely had that flashback when those ones rose.
Yeah. Did you record that in a studio?
No, actually, in May, we had a little bit of downtime with the band, and I thought to myself, I've never driven across America. So I drove from LA to New York, and most of my life I grew up living in Michigan, and the piano that I learned how to play on and my dad are still there and still in the same house. So that would be cool. I've got these piano songs to record on that piano in the house. So got about 4 or 5 mics, drove it up there to Michigan, plopped it down for about 2.5 weeks, recorded this album. And, you know, if you listen carefully to it, you can hear the wind chimes in the background and the cat walk by and, like, my dad sneakily walking in the kitchen. Like, dude, I don't realize these mics pick up everything. But the hard thing about piano is I wanted to get a pure kind of sound and not have to punch it in or do it all in one take. So even recording that, like, I probably recorded each song, like, 30 times before I got that perfect one that I thought was nailed all the way through, you know. So
it sounds like you've engineered a lot of the situations to suit what you want to do.
Yeah,
with the music.
Sure.
In a way, you are controlling the situation, so you control your fear.
Mm-hmm.
You're not putting yourself in a situation where you don't feel, you know, you're risking too much in a way.
Okay, yeah.
So is that...
Yeah, I mean, as far as piano performance goes, sure. You know, one place that I feel like sort of Native June is out of its element is every time we get asked to do an acoustic show. Mm. We're not an acoustic band, and our songs are not written to be acoustic, but more. We frequently get asked this, particularly by our label a lot, because they have some office party they want us to play at, or they have, like... And since we don't ever really practice acoustic, I would think actually for Native June, those are some of our more stressful shows, because the drummer might not even be there or might be playing a box, and, you know, we're playing these songs on guitar kind of hoping, oh, I hope this really fills out the sound. And sometimes, like, you know, you can play songs acoustically, but you might play them a little bit different or change the structure around a little bit more, because something that has a great wall of sound with distortion and stuff is going to sound like crap acoustically, so don't do that section, or change the guitar lines a little bit too. So for the, you know, when the three of us or the four of us, I'm talking like two guitars and bass, go to do an acoustic song for Native June, that's probably a period that we do feel pretty nervous as well. You can't hide behind that wall of distortion.
Yeah, and also it's something you don't do very, you don't do all the time as well. So, and I find that the most stressful things are when you, it's not when you change something completely, it's when you change it slightly. So you do what you normally did, but like you got to remember, we don't do that section, do we?
Right, and, exactly, sure.
So that's an interesting thing on it, isn't it?
Yeah, because you're like, your muscle, I mean, especially for songs that you've been playing for like 5 years, that you can just play with your eyes closed. We do play with our eyes closed, basically. You know, you just get this rhythm, and you just kind of get lost in the music, and, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, shoot, there's that one part, or I hope I remember that one part, I hope I remember that one part, oh, and then I remember that, oh, that part went, shoot, ah! You know?
But how do you keep it fresh then, if you've been playing the same songs for 5 years, you know?
Yeah, sure. We just love playing. And I would say we haven't had like a, you know, 7 month tour where we've played every single night for 7 months. So maybe at the end of that we might be. But I mean, there's a sort of a, it's a very different experience between just playing those four songs in a room with the band and playing those four songs to a room of 1,000 people who are screaming, dancing for it, right? If anything, you're almost happy you know the songs that well, because you can sort of be, enjoy the moment more, and the assurance that your body is just going to take care of going through the motions, and you can enjoy the experience of playing the show and jumping around and whatnot. Like, we love being on stage. Like, that's our, that's why we're in it, because we just love that feeling, that sensation, that, you know, entertaining all those people, and just, it's how we exercise, you know. So it's kind of almost like a kind of mention, like a reassuring thing that we have, our bodies have that muscle memory of how to play those songs.
That's your inspiration, is the live,
right,
the live
yeah.
thing, yeah? That's where you're acting at in your element, I suppose,
right,
isn't it? Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And we genuinely just love being on stage. You know, I'd say it's something that's just cultivated over years of playing on stage. It wasn't always like that. In my early kind of punk bands and stuff, we liked being on stage, but we still got really nervous before we went on. And, you know, even at like Bath College, I could sort of see some of the younger bands that, you know, they're pretty stiff up there,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they're
yeah.
not, they haven't let loose yet. And, when I think about the shows that we would play back, like in high school, the punk shows in high school and in college, I had like a kind of a weird like prog punk band. The shows there, we got progressively more used to being on stage and more, I would almost say, desensitized to what it feels like to have all those people to look at you, to turning into a stage. We actually really look forward to it. We don't get nervous anymore. That's, you can tell the difference in yourself, like that heart fluttering from nerves. Like, oh my god, I'm getting on stage, and like, no, this is like the anticipation of actually getting up there and rocking it out, you know.
Do you ever have to play places or gigs that you think it's not really me?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And how do you cope with it?
Yeah, in our Midwest tour, so in the Southwest or LA, Southwest America scene, shows are actually pretty short. They're about half an hour to 45 minutes. So we've got a very tight half an hour, 45 minute gig. When you go and play in the Midwest of the States, bars and clubs, they're looking for more like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And that's something we learned like the day we arrived in the Midwest. So like we come to play our first show and the guy's like, oh, you guys, you know, start at 9, right? Yeah, yeah, we're playing at 9. He's like, yeah, so, you know, what time do we play until? He's like, oh, I don't know, maybe something like 11:30 or 12. And we're like, oh, okay. Shoot. What the heck? So, I mean, we have, like, enough songs that we've written, but we haven't practiced some of those songs in a long time just because we've refined it to, like, a get in there, play our best stuff, and get out. So those first couple of shows, like, in Indiana and Chicago were pretty, Elmhurst, Chicago, particularly, were pretty hair-raising for us because we had to frantically learn all these covers that we didn't really sort of weren't that comfortable with, you know. And you could totally, like, I don't know whether audience members have ever seen this before could tell the difference. I'm sure they could between, like, here's us playing your own songs, we're jumping around, and then, like, okay, here's that one Queens of the Stone Age song. All right, is this gonna, you know, we're all kind of tense, we're looking at each other. Is this where the park goes? You know what I mean? So, that you definitely have been out of our element. And even in that place, you know, we're playing shows that are 2,000 miles away from home, too. So we're playing in front of a completely different crowd, different type of weather. But at this point, at no point has anyone in our lives ever given us, like, trouble on stage, you know? And I think maybe sometimes the fear of the unknown, of, like, what if they go on stage and they don't like me, you know? Mm. Who cares? We're here to be on stage and have a good time. Like, you know, we know that our music isn't for everyone. If you don't like it, whatever, the next band's coming on later. But we know there's at least some people that do, you know.
That tip is to make sure you have enough material, I suppose, for two sets. So now you've probably got that.
Right, yeah.
You've got that in the clip.
Yeah.
And do you rehearse those other ones every now and again?
Or? We will when we know something like that is coming up. Back in LA, we probably let it slide a little bit, and if anything, we're trying to write more new material, really, to try and get a third album recorded and whatnot, then really kind of practice those. We're not a cover band, so those are kind of like emergency in the back pocket if we need them, you know? Mm. But, you know, in the case if someone says, oh, you got to play for 2 hours instead of the 45 minutes we were expecting.
What I've noticed when I've been interviewing people is that the more people play their own material, the less nerves they have.
Right, yeah, totally.
And, you know, I've talked to this singer who doesn't get nervous, and she went and did sang on the soundtrack for Troy.
Okay.
And I said, were you nervous about that? She said, no.
Yeah.
Because it was improvised and she loves doing that kind of
thing.
Okay,
sure, sure.
And it's where, you know, where her heart is. But if it's something that's a bit, you know, modern piece of Schoenberg or something, uh-huh. She said, yeah, she would really be nervous for weeks before that.
Yeah.
And yet, so it's interesting when you're in your element.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what, I mean, you can almost apply that to almost like any skill, mm. Like really, if you think, or in your, even if you're not, but if you think you're good at something in your head, you're going to have that much more confidence and, you know, I own this. I can, you know, if you're like a bungee jumper, you bungee jumped 1,000 times, you're like, bungee jumping doesn't scare me, I enjoy it. But if it's your first time, you're scared out of your mind, you know? So, yeah, I mean, if her specialization is improvisation, then, yeah, that's her element, that's what she's good at, you know? Personally, I'm not that great at improvisation. You know, if I wouldn't mind jamming with a bunch of musicians in a room, but if it's like, let's have a jam session with an audience, I'm out of my element in that point. I prefer to be able to step on stage knowing exactly what's coming up. Mm.
You obviously done a lot of gigs in a lot of different places. Mm-hmm. What are the top tips for a musician who's going to be, you know, in a pop band?
Yeah.
What are they?
Right. Well, I mean, like you said, learn your material, get to know in and out, because especially if it's yours, you can have in your head, there's no one in that room that knows that song better than you. No one. And so I sometimes tell myself that a little bit too, feeling, you know what? I'm the best person on the planet at this particular song. So you know what? If I mess it up, that's how it's supposed to be. You know? I own this. This is mine. So that kind of pep talk. Getting in front of groups of people as often as possible. You know, humans are social animals, right? We like interacting in groups of people. And, you know, I've heard, I think it may have even been from Seinfeld, the comedian, where some people are more afraid of death than they are public speaking, you know? And it's like, that's crazy. Death? Like, you would rather die than get in front of a large crowd? You know, it's just, when we're a sort of a social group, to be able to stand up and say, everyone, I'm going to do something different, I'm going to stand out from the crowd, that does take some degree of confidence or balls or what, you know, whatever you want to call it. But when you do it enough, you just get used to it, you know? And you, the fear of the unknown, like, you know, they're not going to all throw tomatoes at you, they're not going to lynch you up. And because you're doing something that actually takes the confidence that most people don't have, you actually get more respect for it. They are going to listen to what you say, or they are going to listen to what you're sung, to what you're going to play or sing or whatever. So there's like an internal kind of trigger that happens, and when you do this enough, you do this enough and sort of, I mean, it's one thing to tell yourself that. It's another to actually feel it in your body. But that it happens, and you'll feel that sort of internal trigger where you're like, you know what? Yeah, I got this. I'm comfortable enough now in front of a crowd that I can go on stage and do what it is I love to do, you know? I would say most performers are out there because their internal drive and love of performing or playing their instrument is stronger than their fear of doing it in front of a group of people. And eventually that will just help them overcome that anxiety. So, other tips, I don't know, you know, some people have a couple drinks before they go on stage, loosen them up. We don't do that, actually. We think it actually makes us much worse. So we don't do that at all. But, you know, certainly in LA, there's people that do. And to be honest, you can always tell when someone has. Yeah. It doesn't really...
No.
It in your head, you're basically kidding yourself into thinking that it's loosened your nerves and made you easier, you know. And it sucks also to have to think you have to rely on that as a crutch. So
it's not sustainable.
That as well.
Because if you're... you know, B.B. King.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can't drink three pints of beer.
Yeah, every single
you know, night that you're performing. Yeah. So you just can't do it.
Really. Yeah. And then, you know, there's the old adage of imagine everyone's in their underwear.
Right. Does that help with nerves, or is that just another strategy?
I mean, it does help. I mean, I think it's really more like, you sometimes being in front of a crowd, you feel embarrassed. So just imagine everyone's more embarrassed than you, I think, is really what it gets to. But I mean, to me, that was kind of almost like a joke phrase we used to say to each other when we were 14.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. So I mean, I think it's just, it's like anything. Just do it. Just like any talent or any skill, just do it over and over and over until it just becomes almost like muscle memory. And that's performing the piece, that's writing the piece, and that's performing as often as you can, as money. Like, never turn a show down, you know? As long as it's free for you, never turn a show down. And coffee shops, you know, like, whatever it takes to get used to people being in the room. Sometimes when we have a new song, we'll actually, in our practice space, invite maybe, like, three or four friends over. Just simply, just even having those few people in the room makes the performance of the song, like, just gives us that little bit of attention, a little bit of an edge. Like, hey guys, we have a new song. When the four of us love it because we wrote it, but now here's four brand new ears. It actually, you do get a little bit of like, oh, this is new. Like, I got to make sure I hit every single note, you know, and how are they going to react? And I hope they like it. We spent 3 weeks on this sucker, you know? So sometimes things like that too. If you have a big show coming up, play a tiny little one at home to a couple of your friends to kind of remind yourself that it's as big of a deal as you're going to make it in your head, really. Mm. And, you know, whatever space you return to with those three or four friends in the room, maybe you can just return to it when there's 300 or 400 people in the room. You
know. In some ways, it's more difficult.
Sure.
Because they're hearing it cold.
Yeah.
You know, with somebody in their face saying, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think?
Yeah.
Whereas if they've had a few beers, you know, they've all been dancing around. Mm-hmm. They're gonna like it anyway, aren't they?
Exactly.
But, you know,
yeah.
So that's a tough call, isn't it, to put yourself in that place. Yeah.
Recording is definitely a different experience. Mm.
Yeah. How do you cope with that? Because somebody wrote to me and said, "I want to know how to do this." So I wrote them a big load of stuff and then sent it back to them.
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything back, but I presume he's recording when I write. Okay. How do you cope with it?
Sure. Yeah, recording is definitely different, and it's a totally different set of nerves. Let's see. When you're in front of a crowd of people, the energy is really, really high, you know, and you're transmitting all the energy, particularly for a band like Native June, your energy is really high. You're transmitting all the energy to music, and the crowd is feeding as much off of that sensation and feeling as it is the actual notes and whatnot. Right. So the things that make musicians nervous, am I going to forget this section? Am I going to mess it up? Am I going to flub that note or whatever? At least those things that potentially make me nervous, those kind of go away. Cause it's like, even if I do, you know what, the energy is still that high that I'll quickly get back in line. And if people notice, they're going to forget within 20 seconds when they're in the pit with their moshing and they're moving around, you know, hey, he missed that B, you know, like they're not going to, but, you know, the microphone and the recording session, that never lies, you know? And so doesn't care how high of an energy you've got in the recording session, when you miss that beat, guess what? You got to go back and fix it. You got to fix it, or you got to nail it every time. So I think I might even use my piano album as the best example of this, because I wanted to make sure I got an absolutely perfect performance on these, instead of kind of copying, putting them together or cutting in or whatnot. The frustration or the anger or the nervousness from that was nothing to do with there's people in the room or whatnot. It's, oh my God, I hope for the next 5.5 minutes, my fingers and body does exactly what I tell it to. And that plane that you got to find yourself to nail that is very small. Just cause I'm technically not that strong of a performer. So that nervousness, especially in the first like minute and a half, like, just don't mess up. I messed up. You know what I mean? And like, that's almost like a nervousness and anger at yourself or your own, I feel like, inabilities to be able to perform at the exact, like 100%, you know, in the recording studio. You can't, 99% isn't going to cut it. It's got to be absolutely perfect for it to be at the level that it needs to be.
So did you engineer your own, the piano album yourself?
Yeah, so I essentially recorded like 30 takes of every song, brought that back to LA and hooked up with a producer of mine and said, I've got 5 different mics in the room, you know, 4 on the piano, 1 room mic, and said, as far as it, like, he knows the sort of the technical aspects a lot better of how to produce a sound than I do. I can say, like, I want it to sound like this, but he's better at saying, here's the EQ and here's the gate and the press, this, that, and the other. So we kind of like worked on it together, but it was like, let's go through all 30 and find the one that's perfect. That's the one. Okay. Now let's pick the one and roll that one. So yeah, of course the nerve wracking thing about that too was, oh, we got one, cause I'm in LA right now and the piano's in Michigan. But, yeah, I mean, with the rock stuff, it's a little bit different. The way generally with rock is, especially with the production, like tools being so good as they are now, you know, drums, the drummer basically has to get it perfect. And we play with good drummers who do. The bass comes in, I lay it on the bass track. And typically what we end up doing is I do it 3 times in a row, you know, try to like make, we're an energetic band, so like we'll jump around the room a lot, try to like get our heads in that headspace of being energetic, play the track 3 times, and between those 3 takes, there's enough stuff that we can just copy and like, or cut and chop in and load in the spaces that I need. So again, it's a little less, shall we say, difficult for me on bass guitar with the rock stuff, because all that extra production happens, up, you know, behind the scenes. It does make it, I think, lose the purity of the live sort of rock feel. So there's always a bit of that trade-off. And the other thing I wonder too sometimes as I'm saying this out loud is, of course, I'm writing my own bass lines. So I'm not writing stuff that I can't play.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, if I wrote it, it's because I can... Technically, it's within my realm. I would imagine if we're doing a cover song of a song that has a particularly difficult bass line that is what I can't handle, this conversation might be a little bit different.
But then you wouldn't record it.
Right, yeah, fair point. Or I would just get really frustrated with myself.
Yeah, there's all session players. off the record.
Exactly, yeah, right. But I mean, it is definitely a different style, different type of performance, and it's, and for bands that are on the energetic side, I think that's one of the biggest challenges, actually, of doing a studio recording, is because if you're known as a great live band that is energetic and, you know, gets people mosh and, you know, jump on stage and, like, do all this stuff, you better make sure that your album sounds like that. And if you're too slick, or you're, you know, if while you're on stage, you're playing guitar and you're thrashing around, you're jumping around, doing all that stuff, but then in the studio, you're just standing there, yeah, like, strumming it. You can hear it. You can tell the difference. And if the entire band does that, it's going to add up to it. But, of course, jumping around and stuff means you're probably playing sloppier. to kind of come full circle with the nervousness thing, I don't know whether the word nervous is the right word to use so much as like frustration with, you know, getting it absolutely perfect.
Yeah, I think for me it's not nerves, it's feeling cornered. You've got nowhere to hide.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
and like, you know, as you get to a point and you know you can't do that bit and you've got to work on it, you can't go, well, all right, we won't do that.
Right. You're doing it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I suppose, yeah, like you say, you got the right parts that you feel right, comfortable yeah. with, really, don't you, that are going to work.
Yeah, but then at the same time, you always make sure you're getting slightly better, too. So it's... Yeah, I mean, it's a trade-off. It always is. You know, I mean, you think about some of the popular bands and you listen to their stuff, you're like, oh, no wonder they're comfortable on stage. The entire song's three notes. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I'd look confident with three notes.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah. Cool. So what's coming up for you next?
Sure. So, I mean, all being well, we'll be back in LA sort of end of January. We as a band will get together and record a scratch track of our third album. It's essentially written. We have enough songs. And then after that, so that will take maybe about a couple of weeks to do. And it's just scratch stuff. It's still, everything's mic'd and whatnot, but it's not that will then get shopped out to producers to go back and do a full studio recording. And then hopefully it's just a bunch of touring, both in the States and then coming over here to England and France. So hopefully we're on the road more often than we're not next year.
Well, thank you very
yeah,
much.
Yeah, of course. My pleasure. My pleasure.
For, you know, taking me your time to. It's yeah. Brilliant. Really good tips in there. Thank you very much.
Rock and roll.